Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. We're so glad you've joined us for another timeless message from my dad, Pastor Salem. Wherever you're listening, we pray today's message, The Importance of Forgiving, brings you hope, clarity, and encouragement.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy with when the weeks come around, and here we are. And today we're going to be talking about forgiving. And I guess maybe all of us have a problem with that. At least we're always confronted with it. And so it'll just be a good little lesson for all of us. But before that, I want to read some of our letters. We just so appreciate your letters. And you get your pencil and paper ready. And at the end of the service, I'll give you the address because we just love to hear from you. And so we start out, we got a letter from here from Helena, Montana. And this lady writes, please send me 5 copies of Heart of a Shepherd. I want to share them with my 4 daughters and their spouses, and one for me in the church I attend, weather permitting. I live in the mountains of Montana on the divide. I get snowed in much of the winter. It's during that time that I attend your service on the television. A great blessing. Thank you, and God bless you. And so isn't that wonderful? Here she is up on, way on the Continental Divide, way up in the Rockies, and she's seeing, oh, won't they see some beautiful sights. But I always wonder about this when they're out there in the middle of the winter and they got snow 100 feet deep. What if you get a toothache? But I'm sure they got that all figured out too, or maybe you go by faith. Here's Port Orchard, Washington. Keep up the good work. Old-time preacher man. And it reminded me, when I started preaching in June 1944, I was 23 years old, my first church, and there was a little old lady in there, and she always called me the preacher man. She didn't call me the old preacher man because I was 23. But now, at 97, here I get a letter, old preacher man. Well, that's right. Proud of it, too. And then Alden, Michigan is a nice letter. And this writing, I'm writing to let you know how much the Lord has moved in my life since I first written to you. I watch your program every Sunday. I'm not able to get out. I've recommitted myself to Jesus, and I'm back to doing daily devotionals, Acts 17:23. I pray for you and your staff often. Now, that's a nice letter because, you know, sometimes we have people that kind of get lukewarm. We drift away. It happens to me. And we need to come back and recommit ourselves to the Lord again. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. He really slipped the long ways. And when he was finally came to his senses, he went back to his dad. And he wondered if his dad would accept him. But we find that as he came back, his father was watching for him, and he ran to meet him. Now, that doesn't happen in the Middle East. Now, I know you, some of you folks in the Middle East, I think it's the custom. It's always been my understanding. That custom runs to the boy. The old man doesn't run to the son. But here he was so happy to have his come back. And there may be some of you today that you one time you're active in the church, one time you're living for the Lord, excited about the Lord, and then something happened, and you kind of cooled off, or you got upset, or you drifted away, or you got too busy and you didn't keep reading your Bibles every day and praying. And now today, as you hear the message given and the Holy Spirit working and teaching and talking, you'll say, yes, I want to come back. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you come back, God will always receive you. He'll never turn you away. And then let's see what we have here. I've got Colorado Springs, Colorado. And she writes, I'm nearly 85 years old and legally blind, so I get to church when someone takes me. I really get scared when your program moved to another day, Saturday, and to another station, but I found you. You're a blessing to me and many others to do what you're doing at your age. Thank you, and stay well. And so here she is. She's rejoicing, and she's rejoicing because we preach the Bible. We preach the Word of God, and it brings blessing. And the psalmist talks about that in Psalm 19, verses 8 and 10. He says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, and much fine gold. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. He's talking about the Word of God, the Bible. And that's exactly right. And now Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And this one is a nice letter. Thank you for your calls and correspondence with my dad. He was a faithful watcher of your program and discussed the sermon with us each week. In your letter, you told him, since I'm older than you are, I'll probably get to heaven first, so I'll be at the gate to greet you. Now Dad will be at the gate to greet you. And I thought that's really wonderful. You know, the Bible teaches us Psalm 90, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I think that, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And I think God has a time for all of us to be born and a time for us to die. And when that time comes, then praise God. We'll just give him the praise and walk with him and worship with him. So it's always great to know Jesus. And it's always good to be prepared, because we don't know if we'll have a short life or a long life. But just so we're ready. And I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And so I was prepared early in life. And here I am at this age. I just never dreamed that it ever happened. But God knows he's in charge. And that's just fine with me. But let's talk about forgiving. And when we talk about in the Gospel of Matthew, there it carries a tremendous truth for believers in Christ. It's a subject of forgiving others. Forgiving others and forgetting about it. And the Lord Jesus spoke about it so often. And it's a question that Peter raised there by the Lord Sea of Capernaum, at Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. And it's a matter of forgiving a brother or a sister. It's a family matter. It's just instructions of people and tells us how we ought to be as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. So this passage in Matthew 18, where we're going to use today, this parable, is for believers. It's for Christians. Jesus was speaking about believers. He calls them little ones, his little ones. And we don't belong to the Lord until we receive him as our Savior, because we're told in the scriptures, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, John 1:12. And so we aren't a child of God till we receive Jesus. And you say, well, how do you receive Jesus? And it's so simple, it's easy. He stands at our heart door and knocks. And if we open the door, ask him to come into our hearts, say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's all there is to it. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Children can do it and old people can do it. It's just your will, whether you decide you want Jesus or not. So he calls them little children. He calls them sheep. He calls them brothers. Keep this in mind. This is a kingdom parable. It's for the church. It's for the body of Christ. It's for believers. Now we're going to be sinned against, and that's not the question. That's going to happen to all of us many times in this sinful world. There are going to be genuine wrongs committed against us, and I mean wrongs we will commit against others too. We need to remember that. So when we have offenses come, how do we handle them? What do we do with them when somebody offends us? And Peter, he's asking that question. And he says, how many times you should forgive his brother or his sister? And then Peter suggests, well, maybe if I give him 7 times, is that good enough? If I want to know how many times to forgive him, 7 sounds pretty good. As a matter of fact, it was magnanimous of Peter, because the rabbis taught that you're only supposed to give him 3 chances. And if they failed 3 times, you never had to forgive him any more after that. So Peter says, I think I'll be a big, big, big heart. So Jesus says, would 7 times be enough? And I guess Peter must about fell over because Jesus tells him in the 23rd verse of that 18th chapter of Matthew, he says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That was a new teaching. That was amazing. That was unbelievable. It was unimaginable. 70 times seven. Good grief. That would, my grief, that would just, you wouldn't know what to do. 490 times. But Jesus isn't saying that. He's just simply saying, in so many words, he's saying, there's no limit to our forgiving. We need to forgive of us 1,000 times. And it doesn't matter, because there should be no limit on it. And that's because that's the way God deals with us. And he wants us to be like him, be like me, be holy, for I am holy. And so God, then Jesus tells this story. And in this story, there's a king. One day he decided to take an account of his servants. And that is to settle their accounts. The Living Bible says to bring his accounts up to date. As the accounting proceeded among his servants, he comes to one who owed him an unheard of amount. He owed the king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents in American money today, United States money today, that's $10 million. He owed the king $10 million. That's more than a small kingdom is worth. But that's what this servant owed this master, owed this man. And so he's talking to him. And so furthermore, the servant had not so much as a penny with which to pay the 10 million. He couldn't even make a down payment on it. And I can imagine that the king was upset, to say the least. And so he commands. But as far as much as he had nothing with which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. Now, that wasn't anything new in the records, because in those days, you could have if the man couldn't pay the debt, you could have his wife put in prison, you could put his children in prison. That's what they could do. And then nothing extraordinary here. It was a regular basis. But we're told that this servant then fell down and worshiped their master, served his master, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I'll pay thee all. And we're not... I don't know where he's going to get $10 million, but he's telling this master he's going to get him $10 million. And I suspect the king knew very well that was an impossibility, that he's never going to get $10 million out of him. Nevertheless, we read, when the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Can you imagine it? Now, keep in mind the word forgave, because that's what the whole parable is about. It's about forgiving. The king forgave him the debt. Unbelievable, but it's true. The debt was forgiven. That meant it was paid in full. It was gone. It was never to be faced. He was a free man again. This servant goes out, and he rejoices, and he's happy. But what does he do? He's been forgiven $10 million. And what does he do? He searches out a man who owes him not $10 million, but about $2,000. That's right, $10 million he was forgiven. Now this man owes him $2,000. And what does this ornery cuss do? Listen to the parable as Jesus told it. But the same man went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou oughtest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. Can you imagine it? Jesus has been given this story that we can, has given us a story we can hardly believe. How can a man act like that? How can you possibly be like that? And when he took a look closer at humanity, and when we really look at humanity, we can see how it would happen. We see it all the time. These greedy people, they'd eat everything, take everything. But as always, sooner or later, these things, that dastardly deeds are to be revealed. And now, so let's read on. verses 31 to 35. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that it was done. Then his Lord, after it had called him, called unto him and said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou broughtest to me, besought me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry, and he delivered him to the inquisitors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. This is an amazing parable on forgiving. So let's take a few minutes and examine this parable and see what Jesus is teaching. First of all, the parable does not deal with salvation, being saved. Don't forget that. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, if I don't forgive others, then God won't forgive me and I'll go to hell. But this parable is not teaching that at all. This parable is for Christians, and they're talking about fellowship with each other. They're not talking about salvation. That's settled. That's taken care of. But their earthly life after they're saved, how much fellowship do you have? See? Our salvation is not lost. We can lose fellowship with God, but he's still our Father, and we still have salvation. It's like a man who has a son, like the prodigal son, and he could go off and the fellowship is broken, but he's still his son out there in the pig pen. That never changes. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're saved forever. But it's the here and the now we're talking about, see? And so just remember that the salvation is not a reward, not a reward of works. Salvation is a gift, the gift that God gives us. That reminds you what God declares. He says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. So he's not saved by works and being good and all of that. He's saved by faith. Here it is. Him that worketh not, but believeth, but that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so this parable is teaching us Christians its relationship with each other, because our fellowship with God can be broken, but our salvation cannot be broken. And you can work your head off and go to hell, because God says you're not saved by works, but you're saved by faith. And faith alone. So what is this parable going to teach us? It's going to teach us several things. It's going to teach us then that we're not saved by salvation. And then it's going to teach us that the unforgiveness is a terrible sin. This is shown in the parable when the king became so angry at the unforgiving servant. It's a terrible thing not to forgive a brother, but to hold a grudge. How terrible it is to have God forgive us so much and then we refuse to give others. Matthew Henry says unmercifulness is wickedness. It's great wickedness. And one reason unforgiveness is such a great sin is because it shows a spirit of pride within us. It's Wiersbe says when we don't forgive others, he says, when you have an unforgiving spirit, you think you're better than other people. They make mistakes, but you never make a mistake. And so that's just repulsive and it's terrible. And it's teaching us that we're not any better than the next person, maybe not as good as some. And we should forgive and forget. And then this teaches us it's a sin to harbor wrongs. How often we hear people brag or drag up things that took place years and years ago. You talk about elephants having a long memory. Some of us are offended. Our souls make an elephant look like an absent-minded professor. They never forget a wrong. I remember a woman came to me, and she had a list of things against her husband, and it went back about 10 years when they got married, and it was a sad thing. And some of these things were real and some of these things were imagined. Some were intentional and some were unintentional. Jesus is teaching us in this parable, We need to be forgiving and we need to forget about it and put it away. Love in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love keeps no record of wrong. Someone has said too many Christians are long on memory and short on forgiveness. You know what? Some people will mull these wrongs over them for years and years, as I say. They never give up. They think on and on and on. I heard about a little boy whose pet cat died. And he mourned for several days until his mother says, "You got to bury that cat." And so he buried the cat and just filling in the little opening there. And he just felt so bad that he left the tail sticking up. Just couldn't part with the cat. And a couple of days later, he came and by the tail pulled his cat up. And oh, man, it didn't look good at all. He buried it again, left the tail up. And then another couple of days, he did the same thing. And then he said, "Oh, I guess I'm going to have to bury the cat, tail and all." And that's what we have to do, bury the cat, tail and all. That's what God wants us to do. And so that's what we do with our unforgiveness sometimes. Every time we bring them up, they become worse and they become worse. And it gets to the place where you actually hate instead of love and you can't away off from forgiveness. We need to put them away, bury them, tail and all, put it away. God will give you grace to do it. I know it isn't easy for me to forgive, but it's just got to be done. And I hurt myself more than the other person ever could because it's a root of bitterness in my soul. And I'll never grow spiritually, really spiritually, unless I clean that out. And there's this also, this parable teaches us that God's forgiveness forgives, covers all sins. No matter what the sin or transgression against us is, we just have to learn to forgive and forget. Look at the wonderful grace of God, how he fully pardons us. And of all of our sins and of all of my sins, he blotted out the handwriting that was against me and against the wall. And he took it away and washed it away and never to be remembered again. Arthur Pizarra talks about this. And he uses David as an example of God's grace and forgiveness. And he tells about David's terrible sin with Bathsheba. And then he comments what David prayed. And David prayed that, "Have mercy, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, have mercy on me because of this awful sin." And that's what we do when we go to God. And he will forgive us. And because he does, we should forgive others. And then another one thing we can see in this is that we may need forgiveness sometime or other. It doesn't matter who we are. We are never going to be perfect, and we need to go to God for that forgiveness. And one of the beautiful things about Jesus, he will forgive us over and over. How many times have I gone to God for forgiveness? 10,000 times, much more than that. But you know what God says? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abounded. He says that my grace is sufficient for thee. It'll cover all of your sins. So you got to come to Jesus. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're never going to get over this unforgiveness until you have Christ to help you. You can't do it by yourself. And so you come to Jesus and you ask him to come into your heart. If you're a Christian and you have unforgiveness towards someone, set it right, set it apart, get rid of it, and you'll feel better and you'll be stronger and it'll be better for your health. You're just all around just forgiven. And think of how God has forgiven me. I think of how he's forgiven me. I have sins that I'm glad nobody will ever know what they are. They're washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And so without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But the Lord says, when I forgive your sins, I wash them all away. So pray with me now, dear Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I hold this grudge. And I ask you to take it away and help me to put it behind me and help me to show love like you showed love. Oh, God, I took your love. Now I took your grace. Now let me show grace to somebody else. Just make that prayer. And then if you've done that, write to us. We'd just love to hear from you. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you can send us a gift, we'd appreciate it because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And if you want to, you can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com and you can send a gift over that or anywhere in the world. And we get gifts from other parts of the world. And send the, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I don't know. He'll spend it. What is he going to do with that money? What if he doesn't spend it wisely? We are a member of the International Council for Financial Accountability. And they check our books every year and check every penny we take in and every penny we spend. And it's all on the level. Maybe you'd like to have our little Bible study. And it's called The New Song. And you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you write, we'll be happy to get your letter and we'll be happy to get your help, because we can't carry on unless you help us. And if you think it's worthwhile, then help us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you'll bless your people everywhere. We pray today for the persecuted church in Bangladesh. Help them to know that we are thinking about them and we pray for them and your eyes upon them. And oh God, just help them day by day and hour by hour. Pray for the young people. Pray for the shut-ins. Pray for the those little children that they'll come to you. We just pray that in all things you'll be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Our address again, especially for you shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you've got on a computer, you can send it on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And so until next week, we're going to be looking for you, and we're going to be telling you this over and over and over. God loves you. I don't care who you are and what you've done. God loves you. He loves you so much he gave his son. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. For over 40 years, we've been carrying this message, same message over and over and over. We love you, and I want to tell you, I love you too. I just wish I could make that decision for every one of you, but I can't. You have to decide, and you have to do it. You can't give it to your wife, your husband, or anybody else, and you just ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you'll be a child of God, and then we'll see each other in heaven, and won't that be a wonderful time? We'll see the saints of all ages. We'll see our loved ones and friends, and we'll see Jesus, and we'll be with him forever. So God bless you now until next week. Next week, we'll be back preaching the same gospel. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.